live. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone.
Morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord. God is good, isn't it? Oh, you had a good week? Good, good, good. If what wasn't good, today is the first day of a new week. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Do you love God? Oh, I don't know if you love God or not. Let's sing like we love God. I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it. Who will I really love? Thank you, Father. And you don't know yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. Let's sing that one more time. Who will I really love the Lord? He gave me his, yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me his. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. Ooh, let's sing it one more time. And you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me.
Thank you, Father. And that's why I love the Lord.
I love him. I really love
him. Yes, amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're truly, truly an honored guest. Thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. The brothers are passing out a handout for our sermon this morning. Brother Hill, can you have somebody to bring that podium, slide that podium all the way down? Y'all mind if I come down here and get a little intimate and close today? I'm going to come on. There you go, brother. Get a young man. Come on up. Put a little pepper in your step, brother. Bring that on down here. Amen. 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 I'm one of my responsibilities, along with the elders, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the apostles, the evangelists, the bishops, the elders, the teachers, is to equip the saints.
Yes, sir.
For the works of service. That's one of my prime responsibilities as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to do something. You have in your hand, actually, you have my lesson. It actually is just scriptures you have on here. But I know where the saints are here this morning. I know at the 8 o'clock service, you don't accidentally roll up in here. You are intentional from coming to worship service, and we have Bible school teachers, we have those who have been baptized in Jesus Christ, perhaps those that have not been, maybe you're visiting or whatever, for whatever the reason. But one of the things that we all should be able to do is to share with somebody else what we did in order that we became, we are in a saved state. And simply, we're not any better than anybody else, because God's grace saves us all, gives everybody an opportunity to be saved. But especially those that have been in the body for a while, there ought to come a time that you ought to be able to to go to God's word and share what you've done in order that you might be saved. And I know that we all are not Bible school teachers, but I just believe, just think if we had 50 individuals out of this group that went about your way this week and shared the message of Jesus Christ to 50 individuals, you think this church wouldn't continue to grow? Amen. There's no doubt about it. And so we're going to give you something practical. This is yours to keep. Of course, it's not all the scriptures. It's not all the scriptures, but I've structured them in a way that the conversation can have a conversation with anybody and not feel threatened, and you can explain from the Word of God how I've entitled it, The Message of Truth. And I don't know if you sit down with somebody, if you want to have this with you or you want to go over this, but these are scriptures out of the Bible. And I know some of you say, well, Brother Gary, I want to use my Bible. Well, you are using part of the Bible. And you still need to use your Bible. And whoever you sit down with needs to understand that these are not your words. These are God's words. But we want to make it a little easier for some of us as we are intimidated often to share the gospel with individuals. And I hope you receive this for the intended purpose in which it is received. And so I want you to go over most of this with me this morning as I try to finish on time. This is Jesus talking in the beginning, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And notice what he says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, I don't know who you want to share the gospel with. Maybe it's a family member. But I don't know what the occasion may be. It may be at a social gathering. It may be in your home. It may be you're visiting someone. But have this conversation with somebody. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, this passage actually implies that the person that he's talking, the people that he's talking to, have a respect for God. Because they're already saying, Lord, Lord. And let me say this. This is not for everybody. See, some folk don't believe in God at all. Some people don't believe in the Bible. And I know that this approach may not work on everybody. But let me also say this. You know, some folk God have to work on. You know, don't think you're going to, every time we call, oh, I need this because I know I'm going to baptize. Don't you? You're not doing any baptizing anyway. All we do is teach the word. And God gives the increase. Some of you were hard-headed. Some of you, it took a long time to get in that water, didn't it? And you fought. You went in screaming and resisting and mad at the preacher, mad at the Bible school teacher, your cousin, whoever, because you just was not ready. And so don't think you're going to convert everybody that you talk to. And then there are some folk who, see, notice, this message is to those who already at least acknowledge God. Because the scriptures identify, you know, the Bible says, I believe in Proverbs 1:7, that fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to hear nothing about that. And so don't waste your time trying to go have debates and arguments with folks. There are a lot of folk who know about God, but not according to knowledge. And here Jesus, he goes on, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so you know a whole lot of folks say, yes, Jesus, I love you. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm too blessed to be stressed. That don't get you saved. Amen, somebody. So don't be afraid to sit down with somebody who already, quote unquote, going to church somewhere. And don't tell me, you're going to sit down and have a Bible. Let's have a Bible study. Let's just study together today. And here Jesus is talking to religious folks. He says, but he who does the will of my Father. Now, I'm kind of preaching, teaching, and I don't, because you go to sleep if I don't have some preaching in here. But, you know, don't be sitting around across from somebody shouting down and say, you hear this? Well, just teach it. But he says, but he who does the will of my Father. Now, this I highlighted will of my Father because, see, you can't teach anybody anything till you know the will of the Father. Amen. He says, who is in heaven will enter. Many will say in that day, this is profound, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, cast out demons in your name, perform many miracles, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It's not about what you see. It's not about what people are doing, because, you know, a crook can go rob a bank of $10 million and come in here and drop $10,000 in the plate. You be saying, oh, who dropped $10,000? Well, praise the Lord. Well, we might be praising the Lord, but God not pleased because he took it from somebody. So you don't know the motives why people, some people don't do nothing till somebody's watching. But God knows all. And just because somebody got a big church and 10,000 folks following don't even mean that they are right with God. So don't get fooled about what you see and what people are wearing and the pastor's driving a Rolls Royce. That don't mean nothing to God. God is concerned about us doing his will. You have to establish that when you're teaching somebody who's hungry and who want to know the truth. Notice this. Now, these are passages on here, but you let the word of God convict folk. Now, there are some transitional things that we can do as we transition when we teach. For instance, the question I'd be asking would, well, what is the will of the Father? Well, the will of the Father is encompassed in the gospel message. That's what the will of the Father is. Let's go to the next passage. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. 20, you still with me? Don't go to sleep. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Notice this gospel, it has to be preached in all the world. It will be the test. It will be God. It will be the way that when God gets ready to judge the world, he's going, you heard my gospel? How did you respond to my gospel? So nobody will be without excuse. The Bible says the gospel must be preached to the whole world. Let's read a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him who also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And he says this after listening to the message. That's very important because, see, if we're going to know the gospel, we're going to have to humble our hearts and listen to somebody. Amen. Everybody has to do the same thing. He calls it the message of truth. Now, if there is truth, there also is what? A lie, or there's also false. So there can be truth, a true message, but don't be naive and say, well, but again, well, everybody, as long as everybody's serving God, well, we want the true message. Amen. And see, we want the truth. He says, notice the next passage, no? Now, Brother Gary, what is this? What is the gospel message? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 gives us the foundational. Christian saints, some of you, I know most of us know this, but don't forget it. The foundational message of the gospel, the foundational facts of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. Everybody say the gospel. Which I preach to you. Remember, it must be a preached or taught message from somebody listening to it, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. It's by the gospel message. If you hold fast the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you first importance that what I also received. Here's the facts: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The foundational facts of the gospel: that Jesus came to this world, he lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That distinguishes Jesus from anybody else, any other so-called faith, any other so-called organization, any other so-called system, anybody that you would give allegiance to. Jesus is supreme in all things. And that is the gospel facts. Now, the gospel, it doesn't encompass all of the gospel teachings, but that's the foundation. In other words, what we want to do is make sure we're in line with everything Jesus has said. Well, how do you know that? Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter 4:17. For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's important for us to stress, because this gospel message is not preached just for you to be listening to it. Just for us to be listening, just to say, oh, that's a good message. That's good. It is something that requires a response. You see, you sit down with somebody, it's like you having a Bible class, a Bible study, but you reading, especially somebody who has never been baptized, but they pray and that they know God. They say God is good, and they're religious, and they haven't done it. Well, they don't go to church, but they watch TV and they say praise the Lord, but they haven't done nothing yet. And you have to get them to see, well, what does it mean to obey the gospel? I'm trying to do this lesson in less than 30 minutes, so you know it don't take all day to teach the gospel to somebody. Now, we get into the response now. Notice this. What does it mean to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's an interesting question. And a lot of time when I'm teaching and talking to people, I like to ask questions. Well, you know what I'd like to do? It's good now. It'd be very good if you let the person that you are teaching read these passages. And not you just reading. I can't do it in here now because, all of we can't do that right now. But if I'm sitting across from someone, they read this. So it convicts them. And see, some of these questions that I'm asking you out loud are questions that people will ask. Well, if they see obey, well, what does it mean to obey the God? And if they don't ask them, you ask them. You put it in a way that, the question I would be wanting myself to ask is, what does it mean to obey the gospel? Because sometimes people are shy. Sometimes people don't want to say it, but you want to make sure they understand, because this gospel needs a response. Amen. It needs a response. Now, see, the message of Jesus Christ, you notice it said the teachings of Jesus. Write this one in your notes. Some of you that have pens, write this scripture. It's not on here in your notes. John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12. It encompasses, because the gospel message encompasses more than just the facts of the gospel. Jesus says, he that rejected me and received not my words has one that judgeth him. He says the same words. My teachings are the same words that's going to judge you in the last day. And so you need, they need to understand now. Yes, we want you to believe that Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, he was resurrected, he is coming again. Yes, you must believe that. But Jesus also had much teaching when he was on this earth. It's just you don't have time to teach him everything while you're sitting in the Bible class. So this gospel message, that's what the gospel encompasses, all of the teachings of Jesus. So they need to understand that, because, Jesus taught about love, didn't he? Yeah, he said, love your enemies. Do good to them that curse you. And he taught on so many teachings. He had teachings about that. Now, you don't want to teach a person the whole Bible in a Bible. Some of us, we know so much Bible, we're just trying to tell them everything. See, now you know if you fornicating, that's a sin. Now, leave that alone right then. Although they will be convicted by sin when they hear this, when they hear the invitation. And now notice this now, that the obeying of the gospel. No, drop down to the next passage. In Acts chapter 19, verse 5. And when they heard this, they were baptized. I've been in the church a long time, and I've taught a lot of Bible classes. And I know one of the things that I've been guilty of in the past is trying to give people too much information. And especially many of us, see, we try to get folk in the church. We try to convert people to the church of Christ. Well. Because we want to make sure that they in the church of Christ. Well, you better get them to know about Jesus first. You can't skip that step. You cannot skip. See, that's why the guy. Now, write this in your notes also, right? Now, if you want to see a full message, a full sermon. Now, and this is especially our teachers. Full sermon, Acts chapter 2, I think beginning at verse 14 all the way down to verse 36 was the first gospel sermon in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter and the apostles gave the gospel sermon, Acts 2, 14 through 36. And then Acts chapter 7, Stephen was stoned. He was a Christian. He was stoned. And Acts chapter 7, verse 2 through 51. Two full sermon contexts. And they include the foundational facts that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was resurrected again, and they call for a response from the hearers. That's a full sermon. So when we go to Acts chapter 19 in verse number 5, it says, when they heard this, well, question, what did they hear? They heard the gospel. They heard the good news, the communication about Jesus. Somebody here, there's somebody here right now who has not heard this, what I'm preaching before. Amen. And see, some of us take it for granted now. They heard something. That's why you come here every Sunday. Those of you who've been here, you hear me extend the invitation. I get to the end of it. I say, you first of all must hear the word. So then faith comes by hearing. And hearing by?
Word of God.
Yeah, Romans 10:17. Now, I didn't use that passage in here. Some of us think that's the only scriptures in the Bible. There are many scriptures that confirm what they heard. The Apostle Peter, he said this. He said, stand ye, you men and brethren, hear, hearken unto these words. And then he preached the gospel to them. So now if you're in an environment that there's a whole lot of distraction going on, people can't hear, you need to stop. Yeah, or you need to get somewhere where folk can hear what you're saying. I was teaching a class one time, and myself and two other people, and we were there in the kitchen, and it was the kids running around, and the TV was on, and we were trying to teach. I was trying to be nice, and I saw her cutting her eyes at the TV, and I said, "Oh, we might need to stop." I said, "We." It's too important. I said, maybe we can do it later. She said, no. Let me. She put the kids up and turned the TV off. Yeah, this one message you don't want people to hear. He says, when they heard this, notice this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yeah. See, when we teaching this message, we looking for a response. God didn't just, this gospel message, we looking for, God wants a response. Now, that was the culmination of after they heard, now, they heard the message. He said this, they were baptized. Somebody's reading this. Oh, okay, all right, okay, I see that. Listen to this, what did they hear? They heard this message, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the, that is again, keep coming up, the gospel. He says, for it is the power of God for salvation. Now notice this. The gospel is what saves. That message in your response to that message, he says to everyone who what? Believe. Now we've heard the word. You heard the word. And everybody's not gonna believe it. Some people ponder on it. Some people start reflecting. Some people argue with it. Everybody don't respond. Everybody don't get excited about the gospel. It just ain't exciting enough for some folk. Some of you, you know, have heard it before. Some of you, I've heard something like that on TV. Well, he said, everyone who believes, if you're here today, raise your hand if you've been baptized. Raise your hand. Now. So we are in the majority, not everybody, and I didn't do that to try to embarrass anybody, because there are a lot of us that's raised our hands that there was a time that we didn't respond to the gospel. Amen. I mean, we rejected it. And then some people scared of the gospel. What do you mean scared of that? Some people just not ready. You see, some folk think that, man, look, man, I get baptized. Man, them folk going to be watching me. And, I know I got some stuff I'm dealing with, and I'm not ready for all that right now. Oh, that's the devil. That's the devil talking to you. Because, see, you know what? If you lost, If you are already in a law, you see, because when you hear the gospel, you recognize, man, I'm not saved. Now, look, and you say, well, I'm going to even do this right. Well, you already lost. Why won't you go and get baptized? Why don't you go and respond the way God wants you to respond? Be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you commit to living a life for God, and you got a better chance that way than your way. Amen, amen, somebody. Yeah. So I teach it. He says, but it is to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now don't go to trying to explain at this time, especially if it's your first time trying to explain. Somebody, well, Gary, you got to explain the difference between the Old and the New Testament. Not necessarily, depending on who you're talking to. Yeah. It's just not necessarily. He says to the Jew first, we know because the Jews were God's chosen people. The gospel was first presented to the Jews in Acts chapter 2. But you don't have to necessarily cover that at that particular time if it's not appropriate. And listen to Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Now notice this. Now they heard the message. But see, some context, some scripture gives part of the gospel message and doesn't give it all, so you don't know what all was taught. They were baptized, but they didn't just run straight to baptism after they heard it. Because they heard it, they believed it. They believed it. But just believing don't save you. And this is where the rubber meets the road with a lot of individuals that you're teaching. Is that a lot of people think that because, you know, I love God, and I believe in Jesus, just like you believe. You believe in Jesus, I believe in Jesus. So some people believe that they're saved. But you got to keep reading that Bible to them. And listen to the next passage in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Excuse me, Acts chapter 17, 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. There is not one particular passage, one sentence in the Bible that explains the whole gospel. See, some people take one sentence in the Bible and say, see, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Yeah. So that's all I need to do is believe. Well, this one says, except you repent, you shall also likewise perish. So which one is right? All of them are right. Yeah. What do you mean, Brother Gary? You got to do both of them. Yeah. What do you mean repenting? You say repent means to turn from. Yeah, and you know, you watch television, I hardly ever see anybody say, look, you need to repent of your sins. Amen. Because they want to make the message sound smooth and convenient. And you know, see, repentance means that you whatever sin, whatever transgression against God's will, your mind must change about it. Amen. And you must choose the way of God. Yeah, Jesus came and left a perfect example for us in how we ought to behave in all situations. We're to choose Christ. And so your mind can't be arrogant toward God, and I'm going to stay like I am, and I do what I want to do, and I, you know, I know it's a sin, but, you know, I just can't help it. Well, you at least say in your mind, I want to do better. Yeah, repent. Notice this, and then sometimes you're teaching people that's in sinful situations. Some people living in sin, and it's not for us to, you know, to try to convict. Well, the word of God is to convict them. You allow the word, you have to teach the word, because, see, if you don't, then they'll think that they are all right. They think that they're all right, that they're saved, but you can't be saved in your sins. So if I'm making a living, my living is crooked. I'm swindling folks. And you can swindle folk a whole lot of different ways. And I'm stealing. And I know that that's wrong. Then repentance means I have to recognize my sin and I have to choose God's way. That's what keeps a lot of people from getting baptized. You know. But you can't sugarcoat that one. No, you can't sugarcoat it. That's why on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 people were saved, but scholars would say hundreds of thousands were there. And you know what? Some people hear the God, even some people right now, some people hear the message, they say, "Me, you know what, boy, that's me, that's, you see, I never heard it like that. That's just plain, that's the Bible. Bulgaria, he just, you know, he just reading the Bible. That's the truth. That's the truth of God." Some people hear the message and they say, like, "Man, wow." I imagine when Pop Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, there were individuals that were there listening and say, "Man, these brothers," and it was 11 of these, 12 of these guys, they're preaching and teaching, they're preaching in tongues. And I imagine they were amazed. "Man, listen, these guys, man, they teaching our language. They're speaking other languages. I hear them in my language. Man, where did they go to school? Oh, man, this is, I never heard this before. Wow." Amazed, man, can't they preach? Can't they teach? But when it came down to how you gonna respond to it? Well, you know. But when you're teaching people, that's why you can't get, that's why, you know, I know sometimes with our relatives, you know, "Man, I know you see this. I know you see this. What more can I?" That's not your job. Yeah, it's not your job because you don't know where they are. You don't know what they're struggling with. See, listen, some people have some hard choices. I tell you, just think if some people have hard choices. Some people, you know, they know, well, man, if I do this, man, my mother, my daddy gonna be mad. And so they have tough struggles. And you have to be patient. Just like somebody was patient with you. You got to be patient. Just teach the word of God. Now, notice he says believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, that if thou confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Notice, and what we said, believe. If you confess in your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice what else it says. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. That's why we include confession in our invitation, in our plan of salvation. This passage says this, with the heart, because it's the heart, not this heart. With our mind, we believe, we acknowledge. You can sit right where you are and say, "Man, I know that's the truth." But that ain't, God wants you to do something else. See, confession is acknowledgement. See, what are you saying, Brother Gary? You can't be a down, I don't know if that's still a word, a down low Christian. There's no such thing as, you know, I'm going to convert, but I don't want nobody to know. It's an acknowledgement. Yes, I do believe. I'm a believer. We when someone comes up here and they want to be baptized, we ask them, "Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And everyone, to my knowledge, I've seen, they say, "Yes." On the day of Pentecost, some people say, "Well, I don't see confession in on the day of Pentecost, Brother Gary." They asked men and brethren, "What shall I do to be saved?" That was their, see, listen, they asked the question. Peter preached, he says, after he preached, it's kind of like they almost stopped it. "Hey, what must I do to be saved? I believe." There's the confession. And so, what? Don't push people to be baptized. Amen. If they're not ready, if they're not willing to come out, if they're not willing to acknowledge that I'm a believer, if they're not willing to do that, they're not ready to be baptized. Amen. And they wouldn't last long anyway. And he says this, Mark 16:16. "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." And so we go back to go to Acts chapter 19 when it says, when they heard this is all they heard. This is everything they heard. They heard the word of God, and they respond. They were baptized. He said he had believed and was baptized. Now, there are those who don't believe that baptism is necessary. They believe that those who believe that you saved at the point of belief. But we just read what the Bible says. And if a person is tender, if a person is honest to themselves, they're reading this passage. If you read a person with an honest heart, and they're reading this, they're gonna say to you, "Well, you know what? I need to be baptized. Because I haven't been baptized." And then some people say, "Well, you know what? Well, I've been baptized before. I was baptized before." Some people say they're already saved. And that is interesting, but we're talking about the pattern that we read in the Bible to ensure that your salvation is secure in God. See, if you were baptized, Like, for instance, if someone comes down and say they want to be baptizing, we're going to take that confession, and as soon as possible, we're taking them to the water. Why are you doing that, Brother Gibbs? Because we believe that the Bible teaches that your salvation, you're not in Christ until after you have been baptized, not before. And see, if you waited 5 weeks, a month, like some places you come make a confession, oh, this brother come down, they acknowledge, they receive the Lord Jesus in their heart, and that's not Bible teaching. And they say, well, when you want to be baptized? Well, we baptize in next month. Well, why are you doing it next month? Because they think the person is already saved. And it's a foreign teaching to the Bible. On the day of Pentecost, 100,000 of people that they baptized them the same day. Well, I bet that took a long time. I bet it did, but it was that important. And so you're putting a sense of urgency on the message as you're sitting there teaching. You know, you might have doctor's appointments, other places to go. The children need to be done this, done that. But when you hear the word of God, say, you know, so you're not saved. So we were at the Day of Good Works, this Day of Good Works, last month or whatever it was ago. And Sister Gregory, they come to the 11 o'clock service. Brother Greg has been baptizing. They've been here faithful, hearing messages. Sister Gregory was working in the front. Well, she's Sister Gregory now, but she wasn't Sister Gregory then. She was working in the front doing some things. And Brother Gregory came to me. He said, "Brother Gregory, my wife, she loves the gospel. She I don't know why she's putting off." He said, "But I don't want to push her." He said, "Well, you know, but she wants a Bible class." And we were there at the Day of Good Works. So I went to the front and talked to her for a few minutes. And Sister Greg said to me, she said, "Brother Gary, I know what to do." She said, I know what to do. And I just simply, nicely said to her, well, Sister Gregory, what's the hold up? And she said, "Well, can we do it today?" And we came across, and she was baptized. Amen. She should have did it a long time ago. Excuse me? God is good, isn't he? And see, you know what? It's a happy day when your loved one gets baptized. It's a happy day. It's a happy day. Now, notice this. The brother read in your hearing our scripture, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism unto death. This is how we connect with Jesus on the most intimate, in the most intimate way. God hadn't required us to go back to the cross. Thank you, Lord. God hadn't required us to have nails put in our hands. He's required us. He says, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so too we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, and how are we united with him in the likeness of his death? Through baptism. It's through baptism. That's how we connect. We're united with him. Some of you knew you're in sororities and fraternities, right? I know about the Q's because my brother was a Q. And he came home one day and he had one of them brands, one of those horseshoe brands on him. And it was new. I said, "Boy, what is that?" And he looked at me. "Yeah, that's..." "Yeah, I'm a cute dog now." I say, "Roof, roof." Well, y'all, some of you don't know what that is, but I. But when we've been baptized into Jesus Christ, oh my goodness. Notice, and if we have baptized him within the likeness of the death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. You remember Jesus was resurrected from the grave? That distinguished him. You won't be resurrected like Jesus unless you have been baptized into Jesus Christ. Now, I'm preaching this. You got to teach it when you're sitting there. Don't you be hollering and screaming at folk when you notice this. Now, let me. I got 5 minutes to finish. It won't take you this long. Notice. When we are baptized into Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13, transition. For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Yeah. That's important. See, because when you're baptized, you not, see, some people say, well, you know what, I'm going to serve God. I can serve God all by myself. Well, you don't understand the scripture. I can worship God at home all by myself. See, because when you're baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one spirit. This is all the people that's been baptized into Jesus Christ according to the scriptures. Now, notice this. Well, Colossians 1:18, he is also head of the body. See, Jesus died for the church, the body. He is head of the body. Notice the church. The church. So the church is the body is church. So when we're baptized, we become part of the church. Now, we're not the church all by ourselves. Just like your body got all these different parts on. This is a finger. It is only one finger on my body. If you did disconnect this finger by itself, it will be dead. Amen. So you can't be by yourself and be the church. Jesus didn't die for, he died for more than that. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Now, he's writing this to the church, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul, he says to the church, there is but one body. There's one church. There's one Spirit. Just as you were calling one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you. A question to you. Now, do you think, just reading this passage, do you think in this passage that God's intention for this, that there be one church? Yeah. Well, obviously, that's what it says. It says one body. There's one body. There's one. Well, so there's one body. That means there's one church, right? I mean, that's what the Bible says, right? Now, you ain't got to start talking about the Baptists and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and you don't have to bring all the Catholics and all that. You don't have to even say those words. If you know, I know some of you, oh, I got to throw it in. Well, you're going to miss them too. Just help them to see. Well, you know what it is? God's will. That's plain in the Bible. In his Bible, scholar, PhD, doctor, it's God's will. It's not what people do. They just say, so well, all the churches are one body. All the churches, all different kind of church, different kind of teacher. Remember John 12:48? He'd have rejected me and received not my words. And then on the back of this passage, this is me, and I'm closing. What I did, this is just for your notes. This week, I was... Every instance the word church in the New Testament is only used in the New Testament. Church is the word ekklesia, it's called out. It actually, the word means assembly. It implies a coming together. It's more than one, more than one. Jesus said, well, two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. What I did in the New Testament, there I said 96 times the word church is used in the New Testament. 96 times. This is all of them. You know, you check them. I didn't edit this, so there might be a few mistakes on there, but this is everywhere the word church is used. And this is interesting because especially religious folk, because you know it's in the Bible, 96, and the church is referenced not just as the church, it's called the kingdom of God sometimes. The kingdom of God, I've listed all the places in the Bible that the kingdom of God, there's the kingdom of God Jesus talked about before it came into existence when he was on earth, and then after he died, it came into existence. Sometimes the kingdom includes the heavenly reign and the earthly reign. Sometimes it's just talking about the church. These are all the instances. It's called the church of God in 11 times in the New Testament, called the church of God. It's called the house, a household of God here in these three instances. It's called the body. All in these instances, this passage is called his body. In two instances, it's called the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:12, it's called the church of the firstborn. Hebrews 12:23, church of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15, kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13, it's called my church in Matthew 16:18. It's called the churches of Christ in Romans 16:16. Do you see a pattern here? Now, if you want to identify, well, which church then? See, the church in the Bible, this is how it was identified. Never giving glory to any man, any mountain, any place. This is the church in the Bible. And so what we're saying is that when you are baptized, you're added to the body of Christ. You add it to the church of God. You add it to the church of the living God. You add it to the church of the firstborn. You add it to the kingdom of God, the household of God. You add it to the church of Christ. You add it to the church that's in your Bible. That's what you add it to. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. The scripture would say in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, and this is why we stress it in churches of Christ. We're afraid not to. Whatever you do in word, in teaching, and in deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. Is there one here this morning that needs to be baptized into Jesus Christ? Well, if you do, you've heard the gospel. You've heard the Savior's invitation. There is now opportunity for you to be baptized. And you absolutely know that you've done it according to the scriptures. And you can come out of the water praising God, knowing that you are in a saved state. You are in Jesus Christ this morning. And so we extend that invitation to you. If you're here and you're a Christian and you need prayer, you want us to pray for you, you want to repent of sins, you can come also while we stand and sing the song of invitation. Would you come?
All to Jesus I surrender all.
Somebody come to Jesus today.
To him I freely give.
Oh,
I will ever love
and trust
him in
his
presence daily live.
Yes,
I surrender all. Oh,
I surrender all.
And
chorus.
Surrender all.